Bargain crushes the competition in wine country.
We had a fast car, but made no mistakes with strategy or driving.
The in-season tournament is down to just four remaining. Plus, we're talking Delaware beaches, and we'll visit with Zane Smith right here on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
To absolutely no one's surprise, Shane Van Gisbergen drives away with the win and the trophy at Sonoma Raceway. Doug Rice along with Brad Gilley. Later on in the show, we'll be talking with Jamie Watts, Deputy Director of the Delaware Division of Small Business and Tourism. They've got a fascinating promotion going on at Dover Speedway this weekend, so we'll chat with Jamie about that. We'll also visit with Zane Smith, but right now, let's bring in a guy that's still on the left coast at Sonoma Raceway. He was in the booth yesterday with Mark Garrow. We're talking about Brad Gilley. Brad, unique to have you on the show from 3,000 miles away.
It is unique to still be 3,000 miles away, by the way. But, yeah, here at Sonoma Raceway, I actually got up very early while it was still dark, being on the West Coast time and Pacific time zone and everything. But it, as you can see in the background, if you're actually watching us on the stream here, I am still in Sonoma Raceway. And right behind me is the little short shoot between turns 11 and turns 12 after an amazing weekend. That's awesome. Great road racing here.
And Brad, so often in sports, we get hype of one event or another. It doesn't matter what the sport is. And more times than not, we never see that expectation played out. Something happens that derails it. The entire discussion this past weekend was about Shane Van Gisbergen trying to win three of the last five, three straight road course races. And he goes out and just dust the competition. You got to give mad props to him for that.
So think about some of the things that he's done. And, you know, look, for some people, they're enjoying the greatness. That's where I fall, because what he's doing is pretty great. For some people, it's like, okay, you know, yeah, big deal. This is what he's supposed to do. This is why he's here. Okay, that's fine. You're right. But it's not easy. And we see drivers that are out there that, look, Dale Earnhardt Jr. won, what, six in a row at Talladega? And I don't think for the most part we were going, oh, he can just go out there and win at Speedway's big deal. Yeah, this is his specialty, but he's getting it done and he's writing his name into the record books. We talked last week on the Chicago Street Course about him being the second guy ever to sweep a weekend by winning both races and both poles in a weekend. He was one spot short of doing that back to back at Sonoma. You look at the success that Jeff Gordon had on road courses. This was one of his home tracks, you know, growing up in nearby Vallejo, California. Well, Jeff Gordon never led 97 laps to win at Sonoma Raceway. He led 92 one time. Shane Van Gisbergen actually bested that record. So he's not just doing what he's quote-unquote supposed to be doing. He's doing it and then some, and he's writing his name into NASCAR's record books along the way.
And he's got a chance to extend that record-setting performance when we head to Watkins Glen next month. Let's go ahead and hear from the Kiwi.
Well, it's not just me. It's an amazing team. Yeah, just our preparation's been great. I feel like we've developed our road course setup better and better, and yeah, just executed today. We had a fast car, but made no mistakes with strategy or driving.
The team really went to work on the car. You weren't crazy about it in practice. How did the changes feel to you?
Yeah, so we definitely made it better, but it still wasn't great. I was very loose, but I could, you know, the guys were telling me on the radio that everyone else was complaining about the same stuff, so you just have to imagine that everyone else has got the same problems and try and manage it the best we could.
So Shane Van Gisbergen now joins the group that has three victories this season. And Brad, I concur with you 100%. I think we all should just kind of hit the pause button and recognize the greatness of what this guy is doing. This is not that easy. And the other part of it, he's kind of made it look easy.
He did, yeah. Yeah, he was out on a nice Sunday drive in a lot of ways, but it wasn't completely easy for him. But let's put more of this into perspective, and you hear me say this often. NASCAR racing is not a fast car contest. If it was the fastest car contest, we would qualify, and then we'd load them back in the haulers and give the pole winner the trophy. It is a race, and so much happens between the green flag and the checkered flag. We talk a lot, Doug, about how on a road course, there is no way anyone could ever win all three stages and win the race, because what you have to do is you have to short pit the stage. Some people pit early and they give up track position and give up a stage win potentially. So at the end of the stage, when everyone pits, then they can recycle and have a better starting spot. That's the quote unquote winning strategy. Look at what they did yesterday. They short pitted stage one and raced their way back up in two laps to finish second behind teammate Ross Chastain. They short-pitted stage two and passed Kyle Larson to win the second stage of the race. That's unheard of. No one should be able to do something like that on paper. And they almost had a clean sweep of yesterday's race by actually pitting within 2 to 3 laps of the end of the stage. So it wasn't that, oh, he had a walk in the park. He had a walk in the park, and he walked it so well through the park that he almost had a perfect clean sweep.
Yeah, he didn't even need a leash yesterday. He was just
That's right.
He had everybody on his heels. He started first. He finished first. And the guy that started second also finished second.
Feels good. Obviously would love to win, but I didn't have anything for Shane. He did an incredible job. You know, I felt like that was the best race I could run. I felt like our car was, 99% there. Like and if I had another 1%, I don't think I was going to beat him still. So, yeah, he's just raised the bar so much in this series for road courses and, you know, proud to be, I guess, second best. And, just a great day. You know, this is, like I was telling you earlier, this is my worst racetrack. So to come here and run second means a lot, and we'll put us in a good position for Dover next week.
Chase Briscoe finished second in his Toyota, his best finish ever on a road course. Brad, you can almost hear it in Chase's voice, and I heard this echoed over the weekend. Yeah, he's really good. Okay, we're tired of talking about it.
Right. Yeah, as happy as he was to finish runner-up on what he had proclaimed to be his worst track, period, I think he was still happy about that. But, yeah, I mean, you're looking at the back bumper. And I'll give Chase Briscoe credit. He almost jumped the final restart, because what he was trying to do was saying, we got a late race restart. I have a chance. I just have to get in front of him. Maybe I could hold him off. But Shane Van Gisbergen, even in one of his quotes at the end of the race, basically said, well, I was able to get the edge on him in two, and that's just what I needed to do. I'll give Briscoe a lot of credit. I mean, this is a place, and he's running in a lot of places where he's never run well before. But now that he's with this number 19 team at Joe Gibbs Racing, and we know how great Martin Truex Jr. was at Sonoma Raceway, you called several of his victories here, Doug. He's gelling well with them, and something to be happy for. But you also know you have a lot of work ahead of you if you want to catch that 88 car of Shane Van Gisbergen.
Chase Briscoe sounds a lot like average guy asking the prom queen out for a date. You're telling me I've got a chance.
Yeah. Right.
But realistically, not much of one. Once SVG got out front. Late in the race, though, the people's favorite, Chase Elliott, Brad Gilley, had a legitimate shot. He had fresher tires, much fresher tires, for a late race charge, then ran into some gravel on the racetrack, and his chance of pulling it out at the very end disappeared.
Yeah, for lack of a better phrase, blew one corner, but that wasn't him overdriving anything. One of the greatest things about Sonoma, California, and this is the Golden State, and whenever you watch a race at Sonoma, you can see why, because this time of year, things dry out, and what was green in the summer now has that golden color to it. But because it's dried out and you have, nature right next to the asphalt, that gets kicked up on the racetrack. And sometimes you put those Goodyear tires through it and you go slide wide. I don't know that Chase Elliott had winning potential on fresher tires. I think he had second place potential and came up just a little bit short on that. But give him a lot of credit. Even he said after the race, this is a great call by Alan Gustafson to put us in a position where we could get the best finish possible. And they did a great job. And for a third-place finish and the consistency that they've had, they have a better average finish than the rest of the Cup Series field this year, Doug, by two positions. That's how consistent they've been.
I think they're going to be players all the way to the end this year. And by the way, it was so funny, following on social media, as soon as Chase pitted, and a lot of other people stayed out, I saw this avalanche of people swearing at Alan Gustafson, his crew chief, saying, he's an idiot. He needs to be fired. He's the reason we've only won one race. And then Chase comes back and with a little bit of luck could have actually been the winner at Sonoma. Time now for our Toyota performance report. We already heard from Chase Briscoe. He finished second. Fifth went to Christopher Bell. Tyler Reddick was sixth. Seventh to Ty Gibbs. Denny Hamlin back in 20th. He had a horrible day. Riley Herbst 25th. Bubba Wallace 26th. Then it was John Hunter Nemechek and Eric Jones 28th and 29th, respectively. And that is our Toyota Performance Report brought to you by Toyota. Visit TGRNA.com.
Here's what you missed last week on Toyota Gazoo Racing. Bubba was totally... as he, around the pack, managing to, across the finish line to claim me in victory lane. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
NASCAR heads to Dover.
Start your engine!
It's the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400.
At number six, Keselowski almost loses it. Hangs on to the race car, guys.
Daniel Suarez has smashed the wall in the inside retaining barrier here at Dover.
Chastain stays right at the bottom of the racetrack. William Byron rockets to the outside. Takes his spot away.
The Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 from Dover. Sunday, July 20th at 1 Eastern on PRN.
Start your engine!
The Bet Rivers 200.
He'll go right at his tire track. Zeke now with another last-ditch effort to win a race.
He'll race side-by-side through turn number one. He's dicing right now with Parker Kligerman as they battle for position.
Mayer's going to move him all the way to driver's left as they stack up and crash at the rear of the field. It's a multiple-car accident.
Riley Herbst to the inside, door-to-door with Sam Mayer.
The Bet Rivers 200, Saturday, July 19th at 4 Eastern on PRN.
This coming weekend, NASCAR returns to the East Coast, where they will be racing on the high banks at Dover for three different races, the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR ARCA Menard Series, all busy at Dover, Delaware this weekend. And speaking of the great state of Delaware, the home of the Delaware Blue Hens, we have with us the Deputy Director of the Delaware Division of Small Business and Tourism. That's Jamie Watts. And Jamie, there's a real reason that we have got you on the show today, because you guys were doing some pretty exciting and far-reaching stuff at Dover Speedway this weekend.
Yes, thank you so much for having me today. And we are really excited to be partnering with Dover Motor Speedway for Miles Beach, which is going to be the centerpiece of the NASCAR Fan Zone.
Yeah, 600 tons of sand being brought in. And look, we know Delaware is very famous for its waterfront beaches and everything, but to be able to bring that to Dover Motor Speedway and be right there in front of Miles the Monster is awesome, and world's largest rubber duck, and all of those things. And I can tell you, Jamie, last year, one of the things I really enjoyed, I actually went out to the Midway and spent a lot of time. Honestly, I had to go see the world's largest rubber duck, and I'm not kidding about that, but just the vibe that was out there with all of the people. And you can see driving through the parking lot, license plates from all 50 states and a lot of different places around there, bringing all of that to the first state and having people come to Delaware and the things that Dover does and in partnership with you guys is really incredible. And it's great to see that we've got more of that coming up this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, the world's largest rubber duck, you might not realize how big it is, 60 foot tall, and it's 15.5 tons. And so it really is a behemoth and something that our visitors love to come and take a photo with. So we're really excited to be able to have that back. And then there's going to be arcades and bars and music and even the opportunity to raise a little bit of money by dunking some of your favorite drivers.
Yeah, you got a lot of drivers that are going to be there making personal appearances. There'll be live music. I love this, Jamie, in the sense that a lot of people come, they come to the race, but they don't get a chance to go out and experience Delaware proper, the actual beaches and the famous waterfronts that you have. And this is a nice compromise to give them a taste of that, and they never have to leave the grounds of Dover Motor Speedway.
Yeah, it really is a nice opportunity because Delaware is known for its amazing beaches. And so what we're doing is we're bringing the beach to Dover. And so there's going to be sand sculptures, even some of the beverages and snacks that you would normally get at your boardwalk, like Dolly's famous saltwater taffy is being brought to Dover, which we're really excited about.
Oh my gosh, I love saltwater taffy, and that is one I can't eat just one. If I get a bag, I'm going to clear the whole thing. You know, another thing I really enjoy and really look forward to this weekend, Dover Motor Speedway is offering shuttle service to Rehoboth Beach, a very famous part of Delaware, but also the Delaware State Fair. And when I heard this was going to be the same weekend, I jumped on it. I can promise you I know exactly what I'm doing on Friday because I do want to go down there and check that out, which is something I otherwise wouldn't have even known to do if it had not been for the race weekend at Dover Motor Speedway. So the state of Delaware has a lot going on this weekend, doesn't it?
We sure do. You know, honestly, Delaware has a lot going on almost every weekend. And we're actually excited that a lot of these things are happening at the same time because it gives people that normally may not come to our state the opportunity to experience more than one amazing attraction. And so to your point, you know, we're bringing the beach to Dover, but there's also going to be those free shuttles taking you down there. That way you can experience the beach as well. And our state fair is legendary. We always have famous musicians. There's a ton of vendors. There's a lot of fun acts and just activities that are totally family friendly.
We're talking with Jamie Watts, Deputy Director, Delaware Division of Small Business and Tourism. Jamie, one of the other things that's going on that I think is kind of cool is ESPN's been doing this feature all year long, 50 and 50. They're visiting 50 different states in 50 days, and they have chosen to come to Dover Motor Speedway and your great state this coming weekend to highlight all the activities that's going on there. That's a nice little feather in your cap.
Oh, it sure is. You know, Delaware is the first state, and so we're excited to be first in this regard as well and have everyone come to our state and highlight it and highlight how great it is. You know, we often get told that it's great that we're so close to all these other states, but Delaware itself has so many amazing attractions and wonderful things to do. You can drive 2 hours and be the entire length of our state, which means you also get city life, you get rural life, you get beach life all in one state, which is a great thing to experience.
Yeah, last year, actually, me and my better half, I call it the tour of Delaware. We went and saw everything, you know, from Rehoboth Beach to chicken farms to Wilmington to all of the really neat things happening throughout there. And this is the one thing, we talk about this often. I'm still here in Sonoma, so we'll be on the other coast this weekend with you guys. But the one thing I love about our sport of NASCAR is the fact that pretty much everywhere we go is a destination. And Dover is absolutely a destination. And what a facility like Dover Motor Speedway means to tourism, what it means to the state, and what it means to, you know, every Wawa, pizza joint, breakfast place, and all of those other things, and hotels whenever NASCAR comes to town.
Yeah, you know, having facilities like this in our region is just amazing. People don't realize the economic impact that it has in our state. You know, our last economic impact study really showed that when visitors come to Delaware, it brings $6.5 billion to our state. And the way to really think about that, though, is that it's supporting small business. It's supporting mom and pops. It is supporting your local kids, you know, Girl Scout troop. Because you are out there, you are supporting them, you're buying the cookies, you're going to the restaurants, and those are really supporting families. And so we're very excited to have Dover downs in our community and to have NASCAR back.
All right, Jamie, I'm going to wrap on this. Brad and I were up there early last year around Dover. We came out to play in a charity golf tournament. So it gave us a couple of days to go out to a couple of the crab shacks that are right there on the waterway, which are really cool. So we dutifully each ordered like a half dozen, was it Delaware blue crabs, Brad? Is that what we got?
Delaware crab,
and
yeah.
We're sitting at the table. We're looking at these things going, well, how do you eat them? You know, we had no idea. It's not like anything else we'd ever order. And the very nice waitress comes over and she loved it. She goes, you boys look like you're having a little problem. Yeah. And so she says, it was awesome. She goes, well, me and my husband put videos on YouTube on how to eat these. And she spent 15 minutes showing Brad and I how to pick the meat out of the Delaware crabs. We actually wound up having a pretty good time. But it was just a fine example of the great hospitality when people come to your state.
100%. You know, we are excited to have people come visit, and we are happy to show them what makes Delaware so special and different. And so that is no different for this coming weekend, when we're going to have thousands and thousands of visitors coming in to enjoy a NASCAR race, which is near and dear to my heart as well. And so all of our local businesses are excited to have them come visit.
So if you make your way to Dover Motor Speedway this weekend, absolutely be sure to drop by Miles Beach, presented by Visit Delaware. Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name. Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
On the inside, Byron in the middle, Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding, and Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the trouble. And a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Turn number 11. He'll make his way out of that corner and head to turn 12.
Shane Van Gisbergen will continue to prove his dominance on road courses in the NASCAR Cup Series. Coming out of turn number 12, he'll see the checkered flag. Shane Van Gisbergen will win the Toyota Save Mart 350, his third victory in 2025 and second consecutive from the pole in the NASCAR Cup Series.
That pretty well sums it up. Great call there by Brad Gilley on PRN yesterday to put the wraps on 110 laps of racing at Sonoma Raceway. So congratulations to SVG. Brad, the only real controversy, and we got some pretty cool audio that came out of this, was an incident that happened fairly late in the race when Ty Gibbs drove through the pits of Brad Keselowski, bumped the tire that a crew member was carrying, The Keselowski pits took offense to that, and then this ensued.
Tyler Reddick also on pit road for four tires of fuel, and we have a fight. We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One of them is with Brad Keselowski. You guys can see this from the booth. NASCAR officials now getting between them. Two crew guys punching each other here on pit road between Brad Keselowski and Ty Gibbs. Brett McMillan.
All right, it was really more wrestling than punching, Brad. Could you see any of that happening?
When Wendy said that, so looking out of the booth, and you see that, we looked a little bit to our right and down. Ty Gibbs' pit box itself was blocking the visual of that, but I got to give credit to Wendy Venturini. She was right on top of that, did an amazing job covering it, and was right there. It was a moment. And it's a moment that you don't really see too often, and it just goes to show the emotion of all of this that goes on. So, I was here for it. I wish I had a better view.
Well, it was kind of a backstory. NASCAR has reviewed it, and they said Ty Gibbs did absolutely nothing wrong. But, Brad, the bigger thing to me is it's even though they have speed limits now on pit road and everything to make sure that it's as safe as possible, it's still a very dangerous place to be.
It is a very dangerous place. And just for a little bit of a background, and I got a little more of an understanding of this morning, talking with Todd Gordon, who you and I spent a lot of time working with over on the SiriusXM side. And it used to be that crew members were not allowed to jump over the wall until the car entered their pit box. But that was when we had two different tire carriers. And now with less members going over the wall, you have one tire carrier carrying two tires jumping over, you know, and that's about 100 pounds or more, not just worth of tires, but something cumbersome. So they let that one crew member stand on pit side on the hot side of the wall as the car is coming in. But they're also supposed to stand very tight and very close to the wall, because if someone is pitting in front of them, like Ty Gibbs was ahead of Brad Keselowski's pit, Ty Gibbs is allowed to drive straight through Brad Keselowski's pit, but that crew member has to remain tight to the wall. Now, NASCAR said, look, he was up against the wall, but maybe he could have been tighter. So, again, hence why Ty Gibbs did nothing wrong in that instance. But to me, that's one of those things I find fascinating, because they're typically very protective of the crew members and race cars and all of that, but they feel it is a much safer situation to have the crew members' feet on the ground carrying two tires as opposed to trying to jump off the wall with two tires, where the slightest little slip could take you down. So, just a tough situation in that one, and one that brought out a lot of emotion.
Ty Gibbs, who's been racing well lately, went on to finish seventh in that event. We're going to be talking with another driver who competed yesterday in the Toyota Save Mart 350. Zane Smith joins us next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Welcome to the land of the free, where we pledge allegiance to the flag, salute racing's rich history, and raise a drink to the new gladiators who dare take on the last great Coliseum. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race NASCAR Playoff Weekend returns to Bristol Motor Speedway September 11th through the 13th. Get a weekend package and a camping spot and make it a weekend to remember. It's not just a night race, it's Bristol, baby.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
One of the most iconic moments in the history of the sport. Your dad and David Pearson racing for the win at Daytona 76.
I learned more from my dad in that moment than probably all the years of being his son before that. Ran that race, comes down to the last lap. Pearson passes Petty. Petty passes Pearson. My dad passes him going into turn three, sweeps up in front of him. They kind of cross over. They get together coming out of turn four. Even though they're running 180, 90, 200 miles an hour, it's the most slow motion wreck in the history of time. As you watch my dad spin and spin down into the grass, you watch Pearson's car with the front end just caved in, come to a stop. And we all leave pit road and run out to the grass. You can see it's myself, it's Barry Dodson, it's Wade Thornburg, it's Dale Inman. We run out and we push the car across the line. We didn't know that if you help the car across the line on the last lap, you're penalized the lap. So if you go back and look at that, my dad finished one lap down in the Daytona 500 that year.
Well, that trip to the West Coast for NASCAR is over, but Brad, we'll talk a little bit more about this later on. Zane Smith will join us shortly. The path, and we talked about this last week, for Shane Van Gisbergen to maybe make a relatively deep run into the playoffs looks like it gets a little clearer each and every day, especially if he can continue dominance on the road courses, of which the Roval is a big part of the playoff picture.
One win gets you into the playoffs. Two wins solidifies you into the playoffs. Three wins now means you have gained much more when it comes to the playoff bonus points. And when we finally get to the postseason, we seed the drivers based on the amount of extra playoffs bonus points they get. You get those two ways. You get those, well, three ways. One, by winning stages, that's one playoffs point. Two, by winning races, that's five playoff points for every race win that you have. And then three, where you end up finishing in the regular season. First place pays 15 points. 10th place pays 10 points. Third place pays 8. Then you go down to 10. He's not going to get any of those regular season championship playoffs points because he's 26 right now, but he currently has 17 of them. That puts him third in line among the drivers with playoffs points. And if you seed that based on where drivers could finish with the extras, he could go in as the number 5 seed to NASCAR's postseason. And that's right now, and we're still not done with the regular season. So he's doing very well for potentially pushing himself through.
And I heard a couple of different interviews with him yesterday, and he's already looking ahead at the places that make up the first three races of the playoffs, thinking, he's trying to think his way through that landmine field. Can I get to the next round? And he was talking about how much he loves Darlington, and he says, he was kind of funny because for Bristol, he says, I might as well just not show up.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, Darlington's his favorite oval. And again, here's a guy who is averaging finishes in the mid-30s, low 30s, and now he's averaging finishes in the low to mid-20s on ovals. So he's getting that aspect of it as well. And hey, the first round of the playoffs is the don't screw up round, right? People are going to have issues. You just have three clean weekends and you should be able to advance. And then the Roval ends the round of 12. So that could put him into the round of 8. A lot of potential there.
It's like we said last week, in those first three races, he just needs to play old man golf. Don't hit the ball that far. Just keep it in the middle of the fairway. You can even make a bogey on every hole and probably still get there. Let's visit with Zane Smith now from Front Row Motorsports, coming off of a 27th place finish out at Sonoma Raceway. And Zane, you had that brief shining moment there that it looked like you had a golden opportunity to advance to the Final Four in the end season tournament.
Yeah, just you know, a lot of positives to take out of the day yesterday, besides really the final two laps. Frustrating to say the least. But I felt our first stage went meh for the first 7 laps was pretty
all
strong.
Right. You now have the record for being the only driver that's ever used meh on our show. I love that.
Yes. Well, the first, 5 to 7 laps was pretty strong. I felt great about it. And then all of a sudden we just tanked really hard. And then I was worried we weren't going to be able to get where we needed to be honest. And we did a great job, short pitting at the end of stage one there. And then in stage two, I had a completely different car, and then battled back and kind of raced up inside the top 15 up I felt a lot of the day, and kind of just in that group, everyone is so dang similar. So made our car a little better for the final stage, and then just that caution came out and it got pretty crazy, and we elected to stay out, and I think that put me initially, I want to say like fifth or seventh, and then the cautions just kind of kept falling, and then I kept losing my buffer to those guys that were on new tires, and they're just getting closer and closer, and I just honestly didn't have any rear grip left. I didn't save any for those final restarts, and ultimately that hurt me, and I could see the train of cars that were all on new tires going into turn 10 or whatever. And I was just so exit focused to make sure I didn't get dive bombed. I think it was by the six, and I think it was just late on my turn in, and the track was pretty marbly, and I was just instantly in a four wheel slide right off the track. And I hated myself for that. And so after that, just here they all come, right? And you're pretty much coming to the white. And so just really unfortunate, but this weekend was tough. That this new softer tire, I feel like we've had on these road courses, it's been a lot different of a feel. I feel like we've all had, I at least myself and a few others I've talked to, I've been pretty dang loose, I feel like, as we kind of all have been. And so just trying to get a handle on that, and I feel like you approach the race a little bit differently, just trying to keep the heat completely out of your tires the best you can. And so I felt we did a good job of that for 98% of the race. And then the final two laps just made a mistake and ultimately went off and cost us a who knows where we would have finished. I don't know if I could have held off that big group of cars for two more laps, just from, I feel like the amount of drive you get beat on from a new tire standpoint, but definitely better than where we finished.
Zane, when we compare road courses, we like to call Sonoma the short track of road courses, I guess maybe because sort of the bullring style that you have in close quarters. Do you subscribe to that? And from your perspective in the car, what is it that makes Sonoma that?
Yeah, I think Sonoma is very unique. It used to be extremely wore out. I had, I think, one start in a cup car and one start in a truck on old Sonoma. And then when I was in the 71 last year, it was obviously repaved, and it was incredibly fast, like qualifying lap every single time. But yeah, kind of gave like that momentum, short track vibe of just really charging every lap. And fall off was not an issue. And then we went back this year, and it's a new tire, and obviously it's aging some, but I personally think it's more so the tire. And it was like a combination of new Sonoma and old Sonoma. It fell off to old Sonoma and was a complete handful. And even in the beginning of the runs, it was just, we're all over the place. Like I remember in practice, like my first two laps, it felt terrible. Like I was sideways everywhere, and they said I just jumped up to P1, and I was like, man, that makes no sense, but whatever, I'll take it. And then qualified decent too, and just a unique feel. Like it feels sloppy and doesn't feel like, oh man, that ain't gonna be good, but it creates lap time. But obviously you gotta build on something else to last a little bit longer into the stages, and just do a better job. I need to, from keeping the heat out of the tires a little bit better. But learning as a group, and like I said, besides those final two laps, there's a lot of positives to take out of the day.
And Zane, it feels like you're going to a completely different universe this coming weekend. You go from the hills, the elevation change, the fresh asphalt of Sonoma Raceway to Dover. The Monster Mile and all that concrete. Thoughts about racing at Dover?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy Dover. I think it's a ton of fun. It's absolutely crazy in this next gen of a cup car, but I'm pretty excited to get back on an oval. I feel like I'm it's going to feel kind of weird, honestly, especially going to a place like Dover that is just so crazy. But something I've been kind of thinking about is the past 2 weeks on the road courses. I've never ran a smaller wheel, which a lot of guys do on road courses, and I freaking loved it. And so anyways, I've had that for the past 2 weeks. So I'm like, man, is this going to feel weird when I go back to a normal size wheel, or what's this going to feel like? And so, excited to get there, but, I hope we have a good qualifying effort, good practice. I think unfortunately we'll be in Group A, which I think will hurt us a little bit for qualifying, just from a track state standpoint. But I feel Dover, I always have circled as one of my best tracks. And then Indy, I had a ton of fun at last year. And I obviously wish we were still alive in the bracket challenge, because I feel those are two great racetracks for me. But regardless, excited to get back on an oval.
Yeah, we were pulling for you, by the way. It would have been a fun story. And it's fun to talk in Sonoma about Front Row Motorsports and three West Coast guys coming to race on the West Coast. Well, now we're going to the opposite side of the country. But to that, Todd Gilliland, Noah Gregson, teammates of yours. And look, it's not like you guys just started racing together at Front Row Motorsports. Y'all's history goes back a long, long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've all just been pretty close and just good buddies. Our personalities are pretty similar, very different, actually. I take that back, but we have the same interest, actually. That's what I meant. With that said, it's been a lot of fun. I feel from like a communication standpoint with a teammate, probably the best I've ever had. And I think that just comes from them genuinely being a good friends of yours. And so I feel we race very well. It's just been a lot of fun. We're not really so focused on just like, beating each other. We are focused on trying to make a Front Row as a whole organization better each week. And it's been cool to kind of grow up throughout the ranks with them. Noah and I grew up a lot racing together on the West Coast in legend cars and pretty much everything else along the way until he kind of got into the truck series a little bit before me. And then I was kind of truck racing while he was Xfinity racing. And we had a few Xfinity starts as teammates back in 2019, and that was a lot of fun. And then on Todd's side, I felt Todd was mostly racing like K&N when I was racing ARCA or something. But with that said, we all hung out a lot together off the track. And it's cool. It's kind of came in full circle, and we're at the top level of motorsports, all teammates, which is pretty crazy to say.
Saying not to get in the weeds too much, but you mentioned that racing legends cars, and there was a time 30 years ago, they didn't even exist. They were invented by Humpy Wheeler here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. But that seems to be now a very popular path for people to achieve success in the racing game. I feel like two-thirds of the garage started somewhere racing Legends cars.
Yeah, man, I looking back, like Legend cars taught me so much. And those were some of the best times of my life, just racing all around. Especially when I went to the East Coast, there's so many short tracks around this area, and we got to travel so much and go race. I mean, shoot, it felt every day of the week, and it was a ton of fun. But just an incredible car to I feel teach you just some good habits. It's a lot of power with little tire. Rewards you for being smooth, and it's fun racing. Cool to get experience on some of those short tracks where if you continue to climb the ladder, you're probably going to go revisit those and late models or super late models or whatever. But just some incredible times in those. And I see like a group of guys are kind of racing out of the summer shootout, which would be kind of cool to go do that a couple times maybe. But and then even from like a road course standpoint on the West Coast, a legend car was probably my favorite car to drive on a road course. They were so much fun. The track outside of Vegas, I think it's a MotoGP track, but we race legend cars there throughout the winter, or at least I would, and Noah would as well. And that track, it was so much fun, and just some incredible memories there.
That's really cool. And it's fantastic that to see you doing what you're doing and everything else here in the sport. Dover coming up this weekend. I know we talked about it. We're really close to the playoffs. So when gets you through? Obviously, that's the ultimate prize and everything. But what do you want to accomplish between now and the end of the season, your first at Front Row?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we aren't going to be happy until we win a race. But with that said, you know, I feel this – first half of the year went pretty well for us. We had a few bad races sprinkled in there with just my Daytona 500 going bad and just really getting no points, wrecking early. And then, you know, Charlotte was going okay, running inside the top 20, and then just made a mistake and just missed out on a lot of points that night, which really hurt us. And then, Mexico, another mistake. And so if you look outside of those, we've raced inside the top 15, I felt, every single weekend. And a lot of the times throughout the race in the top 10, and then something had seemed to happen in that first part of the year to where we'd make a mistake like halfway through the race, and it would kind of set us back, and we would just simply run out of time at the very end. And so kind of going into this back half of the year, starting in Atlanta, you know, the focus of winning becomes maybe a little bit more pressure and just talked about more because we're just narrowing down on the playoffs being here. But with that said, we just wanted more consistency and you know, we were racing in the top 15. Now let's race in the top 10 and see if we could put ourselves in contention in the first few rows of a late race restart and see what we can make happen. And I felt at Atlanta, we exactly did that. And we were in contention to win. And I felt like that was good confidence for me, my team, because I felt that we've had winning speed. It's just putting a whole cup race together, which is really hard because there's a lot of things that can go wrong in a cup race. And so, wanted to carry that momentum and we kind of brought that to Chicago and, was happy to get out of there with some decent points. And then, you know, yesterday would have been another just solid day, probably inside the top 15, who knows, with all the different strategies going on there at the end. But looking at a big picture, I am proud of the speed we brought in practice, unloading, qualified good, and we raced good all throughout the race. And, you know, there's going to be crazy endings and I'm not going to dwell on that and just try to regroup and move forward at Dover. I know Dover is, like I said, a great racetrack for me, and I'm excited to get there and hopefully go battle up front, collect some stage points, and get a good finish out of the day.
All right. Well, Zane, thanks a lot for the time. We wish you the best of luck at Dover, and as we play out the rest of the races here in the 2025 season, appreciate you taking time to be with us on Fast Talk. We'd love to get you back on.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Zane Smith, driver of the number 38 for Front Row Motorsports.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency. Plus, cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee. We're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Very late in the race at Sonoma, the relatively untalked about until 3 weeks ago, Ty Dillon comes along and puts the bumper to Alex Bowman, moves him out of the way, goes on, passes Alex, and by doing so, advances to the final four of the in-season tournament. And Brad Gilley, I think when they decided to come up with this tournament, I know they were envisioning having all the big names battle it down to the end, but I love this story of the ultimate underdog still being alive with just four drivers standing.
This is awesome. In so many different ways, this is awesome. Now, when every race-winning driver but two were taken out in one wreck at Atlanta and everyone's bracket was busted, including mine, I'll be honest with you, I kind of lost interest in it. You know, even I lost interest in it at Chicago when Ty Dillon was still able to advance, and really in the first 2 weeks of it, I wouldn't say that he went out there and beat everybody. It's just everyone he was against had problems. Now he goes out there and he beat Alex Bowman. He did. It was plain and simple. So you have Ty Dillon versus John Hunter Nemechek this weekend at Dover. I think that's a pretty reasonable matchup. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have Ty Gibbs versus Tyler Reddick. I think that's a reasonable matchup. My bracket's busted,
yeah.
But my fandom, I'm all in. I'm all in like the best way right now just to see how this plays out. And if Ty Dillon could take it all the way to the Brickyard and have a chance to win this, I think it's a great story. I think we took what was a total bust for a lot of people, and it's now turned into just a great fun fan thing to watch.
I don't want to give Ty Dillon the Doug Rice KOD, the kiss of death, by pulling for him. But it is such a great story. Either way, you are going to have one of the relatively unfavorite drivers, by meaning that favorites to win the challenge, involved. Either John Hunter Nemechek or Ty Dillon are going up against two of the big boys. And I don't know, yeah. One of them's bigger than the other because Ty Gibbs has never won a race. He races for Gibbs Motorsports, but he's never won a race.
Right. And there are no guarantees. Yes, on paper, I would give the advantage to Tyler Reddick over Ty Gibbs at Dover. On paper, I'm not really sure about Ty Dillon and John Hunter Nemechek. I think I'd give it to John Hunter Nemechek just based on the what have you done for me lately, because they have run very, very well at Legacy Motor Club. But we saw on paper, Denny Hamlin was supposed to beat Ty Gibbs. We saw, or Ty Dillon rather. We saw on paper, Brad Keselowski was supposed to beat Ty Dillon. Alex Bowman was supposed to beat Ty Dillon. None of that happened. The number 32 seed is still in this one. And all the brackets busted made it really interesting. But I'm actually happy that it's not Ty Gibbs versus Ty Dillon. It might be that at Indy. And I'm happy it's not Tyler Reddick versus John Hunter Nemechek, because I think this final four really sets itself up for battles that we could literally be watching on the racetrack for 400 miles at Dover.
So either way, if Ty Dillon advances, we're all going to be able to tie one on, because he's either going to be up against Ty Gibbs or Tyler Reddick. Good theater. I was listening to one of the odds makers driving back home this weekend talking about Ty Dillon versus Alex Bowman at Sonoma, and they basically said, well, this is where the honeymoon ends. You know, Cinderella turns back into the pumpkin, and it didn't happen. So we'll see how it all plays out as the in-season challenge moves into its next-to-last round when they race on the high banks at Dover. We'll take our last timeout.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Our planet is home to some of the most amazing creatures you could ever imagine, from the biggest bears to the smallest birds and everything in between. If we want our kids and their kids to experience the magic of wildlife that we have today, it's on us to step it up and take action. You can make a difference. Learn more about wildlife conservation in your area and how you can help. This is Eli Wenders. Let's make sure our wildlife is around for generations to come. Y'all take care of the earth and it'll take care of us. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The speed, the drama, the only NASCAR race in California. The Toyota Save Mart 350 NASCAR Weekend rolls into Sonoma Raceway July 11th through 13th. 3 days of high-speed thrills, edge-of-your-seat action, and family fun in the heart of wine country. Bring the whole family. Kids tickets start at just $10. Don't miss NASCAR's biggest stars battling for victory. Get your tickets now at SonomaRaceway.com. This is NASCAR. This is California. This is Sonoma.
NASCAR is very diverse by nature. This past weekend, San Francisco in the Sonoma Valley racing in wine country, and now we're headed to basically a beach community of Dover, Delaware this week at Dover. It's one of the fascinating things about NASCAR. Let's move on to this as we get ready.
One last thing.
Well, there you go. Brad Gilley, what have you got for one last thing today?
I know I talk about this a lot, but as we talk to Dover and Delaware tourism about how all of these places are destinations wherever we go, I am truly excited about having the opportunity to go to the Delaware State Fair on the same weekend that I actually get to watch some good hard racing at the Monster Mile, but everything that the tracks have to offer. It was an awesome weekend here at Sonoma Raceway, and I look forward to a lot more. So the bigger thing for me, this sport can be predictable, and it can be very, very unpredictable, but the one constant for me, it's always a great time.
All right, Brad Gilley talking up Dover, and why shouldn't you? It's a pretty cool destination. Let's just enjoy the moment. I'm not asking anyone or everyone to be a Shane Van Gisbergen fan, but appreciate what this guy from New Zealand is doing. Do you realize the first race he ever ran in Cup 23 in Chicago, he won it. Okay, that's nice. It was a great story. Could have easily been a fluke, and we'd never heard from him again. He comes back this year. He has now won 3 straight road course events. He's going to be a high seed when we get to the playoffs. We were told to enjoy the dominance that Jimmy Johnson flashed for decades, and also what people like Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart did. They set back, enjoy the ride. For Shane Van Gisbergen on these road courses, just set back, smell the roses, and appreciate what we're able to watch in a piece of history. Thanks a lot to David Stiles, Kim Bernhardt, Harold Hamrick, Brad Gilley. I'm Doug Rice. Back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.